Please be seated. You guys are too kind. But then I wouldn't expect anything less. Because Bob, I think, taught not too long ago about being kind, right? Ephesians 4:32. I'll bet someone in this room could stand up and say it right now. Who is that person? Yeah, Claudia. Oh, all right, give her a round of applause. That pretty loud? Or about right? A little loud. Yeah. Well, hey, guys, bless your hearts. Good to be back. Some of you heard that teaching I did on Thursday. Unfortunately, it didn't all record perfectly, but it was a teaching about nothing. And, boy, I sure had fun with that. And if you want to read more of that, you can go online and go to the website, and all of our teachings and what have you are on there, plus as well as Facebook. But this morning, kind of shifting gears here a little bit, I'm going to be teaching on radiating the life of God. And, you know, one of the greatest things in our world today is the fear of nuclear war and a nuclear bomb that goes off. Needs to go down a little bit. Down a little bit, please. And one thing that a nuclear bomb gives off, which is probably even maybe worse than the actual explosion itself, is what? Radiation, right? Radiation, what they call fallout. I mean, I was looking at it a little bit this morning, just about the effects of a nuclear bomb and kind of damage that is involved. And obviously it's based on the size of the bomb. When I was in Japan a couple of years ago, Ken and I had traveled to India, and then I went on to Japan with another gentleman, a number of believers, and we went to, I don't know what they would call it, like the museum in Hiroshima, a three-story building. And you're on this property, kind of like Balboa Park, and they had some burned-out buildings and some other things that were left over. And I think it became very apparent to my mind the kind of things that can happen as a result of a nuclear explosion. Now, I understand we aren't getting into the politics of it, but I understand it was America's response to the attack on Pearl Harbor. And it was devastating. It killed like 250,000 people like that. I mean, in a moment of time, they didn't even know it was coming. It just, bang, there it was. But then the fallout that happens extends literally for miles. And if you ever watch that movie Chernobyl, sometimes these areas are shut down for years and years and years, right? Now, this is a thing that's made, and by the way, I did not enjoy that experience of going to the museum. It'd be like going to the Holocaust Museum. Not that it's glorifying death, but it's just so sad to, you know, see children, and they've got all these very detailed and graphic pictures of all these children who have suffered the effects of radiation poisoning and radiation burns and how well it's... Boy, I tell you, if this happens, it's going to happen after the return. I can't imagine God allowing us to be a part of that. After we're out, you never know. But I bring that up in light of who we serve, who we're in relationship with. I want to look at a record in Exodus chapter 34. You can be turning there. Again, the teaching is radiating the life of God. And I use that example from a nuclear bomb because that's something that we kind of hold in our mind is, I mean, that's the most powerful thing there is. And nations and politicians and people spend their whole lives trying to negotiate peace treaties and all these things. So my And actually, it's a weapon of control because you can intimidate. What is this gentleman in North Korea? All of a sudden, he's setting off things in the ocean, and people are like, ooh, you know. We don't want that happening. We don't want him shooting. And so what do? We get our defenses built back up again. We do other things to try to prevent ourselves or at least be aware of the threat, okay? These sections in Exodus chapter 34, verse 29, let's start there. We're going to give a little different perspective on this, okay? Because I'm here to tell you, God is more powerful than any nuclear bomb that mankind has ever built from the beginning of time to the end of time. Amen?
Amen.
Our God is big. He's powerful. He created this universe in which we live. I mean, look around sometime. You go out and look at the stars. It's like, I mean, God's perspective of things is just so much greater than ours. You know? Anyway, I love this record. You've seen it before. Exodus chapter 34, verse 29. We're reading from the NIV. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had, what? Spoken with the Lord. And when Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant and they were afraid to come near him. It's like, this guy's shining like a light bulb. But Moses called out to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him and he spoke to them. And afterwards, all the Israelites came near him and he gave them all the commandments or the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went back in to speak with the Lord. There's a little key here. Remember, we're talking about radiating the life of God. Moses entered into the presence of God. He came out shining like a brighter than Point Loma Lighthouse, you know, brighter than the biggest light around. And so what happened here? What were the people really seeing? What does it mean that his face was radiant? I don't know what it uses in another version. What does it say? It's shone. He was just bright. Does it remind you of a verse in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5? Who knows that? Say it, Al. Speak right into there.
Then this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all.
Oh, very good. That's amazing. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We have no concept really what that means. But God is light. You know, the word radiant means sending out light, shining or glowing brightly. It stresses the emission or seeming emission of rays of light. Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I think you guys know where this is going. That must be the Spirit of God working in your life. Somehow to show you the importance and the significance of your own life wherever and whenever you are there, whether you realize it or not, many times. 1 Corinthians what? 3? Chapter 3, verse 7. Now if the ministry of death carved in letters on stone came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even what? More glory. For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all, because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, how much more will what is permanent have glory? We don't have time to really go into it all. But you start thinking about the glory of God, like what we're talking about here, the Shekinah glory, the glory that showed up in the temple, the glory that led the children of Israel, the glory that was in the tabernacle, the glory that was in the temple. Let me ask you a question. Is what we have permanent? Can we lose it? No. Will it be taken from us? No. Is it unconditional? Yeah. No, it's unconditional. Yes, it is. Is it unconditional? Yes. Okay. Your flame cannot be blown out. It's an eternal flame. See? Verse 12. For since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Freedom. So there's a couple of analogies going on here, right? But here's a statement. Would you concur that there is something that happens in the heart of an individual when they come into contact with God Almighty? And they have an experience with God of some type. Is that a fair assumption to make? Did it happen in the case of Moses? Did it happen in the case of a number of the other prophets and people who actually had an experience with Almighty God? It wasn't that they just knew that God existed. They actually came into an environment where there was no question beyond the shadow of a doubt that this was God. Now the children of Israel, I don't know what their problem was exactly. But here they are, they're in the desert, they're crossing, they're moving, God's done all these miracles and he parts the Red Sea. Now, that's a pretty major thing, right? But yet it wasn't too far long after that that they've I'm getting kind of thirsty here and, getting kind of hungry. So it's like they put that kind of out of the picture. Here's the point, guys. You come into contact with God Almighty, you're going to change. Something's going to happen. See, you can't move on in life having an experience with God as the same person. See, many of us are bound. Now, I'm going to say this, but maybe some of us are bound by this. This is the Word of God. This is not God. This leads us to God. This makes entree into God. This explains God. This is the heart of God, the history of God. But this in and of itself is not God. And so to hide behind this and say, I know God, I think you have to really assess that. Are you truly experiencing God, or are you just truly experiencing a knowledge of what the Word of God says about God? Ideally, we want to make this Word of God living and real in our everyday life. And I know it's possible to do. Many of us, if not all of us in this room at one point in time, have experienced that. Amen? So would you concur that there is something that happens to a person when they come into contact with God and have an experience with Him of some type? And the answer is yes. Unequivocally, without a doubt, undeniably, the answer is yes, 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 1,000 times yes. You cannot get into the presence of God and have an experience with God and remain the same. Verse 18 of the same section. It says, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You know, it's been said before, to look within will make us miserable. To look around will make us very distracted. So where then do you think we should look? What do you think we should concentrate our thinking upon? God, the things of God, and those things that God has revealed to us. Remember, we're talking about radiating the life of God. Run into a really interesting book called The Secret of Radiant Life, written by W.E. Sangster, a British minister, British Methodist preacher and scholar. There's a section in here I just thought I want to share with you. It's just so powerful, at least it was to me. And he says, here is the heart of this incredible truth, which once experienced makes all things new, and which is the whole secret of radiant personality in a phrase. God can and God will, at our invitation, live in us. And those in whom God dwells, and they alone, are radiant personalities. The radiance, listen to this, the radiance is the outward glow of the indwelling God. You cannot come into contact with Almighty God, who is holy, who is light, who is love, who is a zillion other things, and have not something change. It is what happens to people who really say to God, abide with me and mean it, who meet his terms, who do not hinder his entrance, and whoever with gladness entertain their holy guests. A light comes about them. They may be quite ordinary people by nature and spend all of their lives doing quite ordinary things, but they do them in extraordinary ways. Their features may be unimpressive and indeed somber, as were the features of a gentleman, John Patterson Struthers, of whom people said they had never seen a face, quote, so lustered, and on whose countenance amazing light would glow. How clear it is, then, that to pursue radiant personality by itself or for itself is foolish. As well, reach for the bloom on the peach without the peach and without the tree. Interesting. People who want the appearance of radiance without the reality must turn elsewhere. Seek for it where we will, even the more thoughtful methods, if they leave out God, are doomed to disappointment. Health, fitness, material wealth, you fill in the blank. Working yourself to death like a dog. The way we think, as we shall see, is immensely important, but mental gymnastics are not enough. Our thinking is but the hand which raises the blind. It is God's sun which pours through. Our thinking is but the touch on the guy rope, turning the canvas to the breeze. It is God's wind which fills the sail. Our thinking only turns our yearning souls in his direction. It is God himself who comes in to our lives. Amen to that. Wow. So how great, how wonderful, how thrilling it is to fill our minds with the greatness of God's word and to live with the glory of the Lord on the inside. The important things of this life are not those things which we can see, but they're eternal. They're spiritual things which cannot be observed by the human eye. Remember 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18? While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And boy, that is a challenge. See? You look within, you're miserable. You look without, you're distracted. But if you look at God and the things of God and remind yourself how good and wonderful God is, you're blessed. So you know what? As we live our natural lives in a material world, there are many things we have to think about. But the real lasting things are those things which are of God and those things which we live out in our lives day by day. John chapter 8, verse 12, in closing. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. In this world, we have the light of Christ within, truly showing forth, radiating the life of God, the glory of the Lord everywhere we go. Amen?
All my words fall short. I got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response, I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is your hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart in my heart. is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, thank you that you understand our hearts. Father, you've always just wanted our hearts, that we can come before you as little children. Thank you, God, that many times we have nothing that's fit for a king. Just our hearts, Father, singing, praise you, thank you, hallelujah. We've got a great future. You've rescued us out of darkness and a place of confusion. We were dazed and confused, but now we have clarity in our minds and a great future in front of us. And even if none of us struggled, some of us didn't struggle, Father, in searching. All of us were lost in the sin nature. And you saw fit to send the love gift of your son, Jesus Christ, on our behalf. And by his own will, he laid down his life and cried, it is finished. We love you, Father. We thank you for your watchful care and grace, your tender mercies, your loving kindness and compassions and patience with us. And may this day be a day of change, Father, as we move forward, because we have such a huge and great desire to go into your presence, to experience you, Father, not just fulfill religious activity, but actually experience you and to be energized by you and strengthened by you and experience things in our lives that you could be the only answer, because in ourselves we could have never pulled it off. I just pray that we have eyes to see and ears to hear. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you so much, Barney, for your